This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me
Dr. Lucas Dreyer.
And I am Diane McConnell. Lucas, this is our fifth session.
Today I'm going to talk about pretty cool and important stuff. I think it's essential information for most males, because I'm going to talk about prostate cancer and the program that we run here called PROSFIT, which is a nationwide exercise program for men living with prostate cancer, and we deliver it here at Aura Kinetics. And it's important because there's about almost 5,000 new prostate cancer diagnoses per year in New Zealand. And with that comes an estimated 1,500 radical prostatectomies, which is performed annually. And so a radical prostatectomy is when they surgically remove the entire prostate gland along with the seminal vesicles and some of the nearby lymph nodes. And with that comes the reconstruction of the urethra and the bladder and so forth. So it's a pretty an invasive surgical procedure with quite significant after effects. Now, apart from the radical prostatectomy, some other surgical and treatment options include things like ultrasound, cryotherapy, which is using icing basically the cancer bits that they can see, laser ablation, radiation, and hormonal therapy. And the hormonal therapy, the purpose of the hormonal therapy is basically to block or lower testosterone levels, because the cancer cells use the testosterone to grow. Now, you can think for yourself, if you lower your testosterone levels on a male, the impact of that on a number of things: muscle mass, weight gain, mood, psychological health, things like irritability, fatigue, and so it has profound effects on you if you start going through the treatment and the surgery process. And so with that comes higher cardiovascular risk, higher risk for diabetes, higher risk for fractures, and all those sort of things, muscle injuries, and then of course the things that most males don't want to talk about is the more personal things like bladder control, incontinence, leaking, having to wear nappies, erectile dysfunction. It is quite profound, the impact of this on 5,000 new men every year. And this effect causes things like loneliness, social withdrawal, anxiety, depression, because most males don't, you know, males are from Mars and what's that book, and females are from Venus. So we go into our little caves and we don't talk about it. And the more I isolate myself, the less help there is, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And so this PROSFIT program that is offered in New Zealand, where there's an there's a funded, sponsored program to help males to cope with this, and not only with the illness, but also with the after effects of treatment. It's crucial and it's important that males and family members learn about this, because it impacts on the entire family, when, as you can imagine, when dad is not dad anymore, you know, he's not acting, he's withdrawing. So what is CrossFit? It's a nationwide network of exercise classes that's specifically designed for men at any stage of prostate cancer. So before treatment started, during treatment, and after treatment had finished. It was developed by the Prostate Cancer Foundation of New Zealand in partnership with Exercise as Medicine New Zealand. And it's a charitable trust specializing in exercise for people with long-term health conditions around prostate cancer. So the program isn't just going to the gym and lift weights. It's a very carefully designed program that covers pelvic floor muscles and balance exercises and strength training and cardiovascular training, specifically and core stability. So it's very specific to prostate cancer and the issues that comes with it. The intensity and the type of exercises are picked not to worsen the condition while you're busy with treatment, but to be therapeutic. And so it is a group class, so when you enter the class, you actually are exposed to other people that have a similar condition. So there's a huge group support effect that comes around these classes. So in order to qualify as a CrossFit trainer, you actually need to meet certain criteria. So in our case, and in all cases, you had to apply to CrossFit to actually become a trainer, and then you go through some training. You need to meet certain criteria. You need to be a registered exercise professional, which means that you have some form of qualification, post-tertiary qualification, at either polytech or a university. And so it's not just people being picked off the street to deliver these classes. It's people that have a background in exercise science, and they are then go through a certain amount of mentorship and training, and the programs that they designed are evaluated or screened for applicability and suitability, and so it's a pretty well designed program where safety of the patient is in the forefront. So I like this whole approach, even though it's offered only once a week. It is well structured, and people that are not necessarily at the same level of qualification that we are here at Orokinetics that get involved in offering it across the country does have a good exercise, a solid exercise science foundation, and so I think the CrossFit organization need to be, Cancer New Zealand need to be complimented for what they've been doing here. Mm. So that gives us a little bit of a background on who can do it and and how it works. There's a whole registration process. So if as a patient you feel that you want to do this, then you can get referred through your GP, or you can just call. You can just call us at Aura Kinetics, we then take you through the whole registration process, which is basically just filling in a form and then showing up for the class. And then we ease you into the class over time. Right, so why does exercise matter for these prostate cancer people? Let's have a look at the physiological benefits first. So with the hormonal treatment and muscle mass loss and the fat gain and bone weakening and metabolic changes that happens, one of the best things to counter that is, of course, resistance exercise, weight-bearing exercises. Because the resistance exercises help with to increase the muscle mass, maintain the muscle mass, improve the muscle mass even. The weight-bearing exercise help to reduce, put strain on the bones and helps the bone density to be maintained, and that lowers the risk of fractures. The aerobic exercise and cardiovascular exercise help with the blood flow to the muscles and, of course, blood flow to the brain. And with that comes the release of the happy hormones. And so you feel better, whether you like it or not. You're gonna feel better after you've done your exercise. And then there's also the blood sugar control that comes with both resistance exercise and cardiovascular exercise, which lowers the risk for a weight gain, help weight maintenance, and also the lower the risk for diabetes. So it is really crucial that you start exercising when you start going through this process. Now, one of the things is there's a lot of research that's now been done, and without any doubt, we know from the research results that you tolerate your treatment better when you exercise, you recover faster, and there's even a lower risk of cancer progression. In some studies, one landmark study found that if you do about 3 hours of vigorous activity per week, you've got a 61% lower risk of prostate cancer death.
Is this once you've been diagnosed?
Once you've been diagnosed. So it is crucial. Then, if we look at the biomechanical benefits, what happens when once you start with these surgical procedures and the ablations procedures is that there's nerves around this area, of course, and these nerves are pretty important because you don't think about not leaking, and the whole question about your sexual health rely significantly on these nerves actually functioning. And these nerves do go through a little bit of an bullying when they mm-hmm. It's a light way to put it, when you go for surgery. And so you lose a little bit of feeling, you lose a little bit of control, and you end up with things like urinary incontinence, leakage, changes in sexual function, pelvic pain and discomfort. And so with these targeted exercises, we can we focus on restoring muscle coordination, just getting the muscles to start function again, to activate them, the tissue resilience, strength, and the ability to contract and hold the contraction of these pelvic floor muscles. We'll go into them in a moment. And then there's also the effect that these sort of procedures have on what we call movement patterns. So you develop, your walking might change, the way that you sit down and stand up when you don't do a squat, that change, and so that can lead to back pain and knee issues and so forth. So optimizing those or restoring those movement patterns is also one of the side effects that is not often considered, but we found as we work with these patients becomes something that we constantly talk about, something that we constantly focus on, almost in every single case or new case that comes in. These people complaining about back pain or knee pain, and so just then demonstrating and showing them what exercises specifically to do to reduce the knee pain becomes a big part of the whole class, a big part of some of the after class education or talks that we have, and so there's a lot more to the classes than just trying to make people tired. The psychological benefits, the effect on anxiety, depression, loss of identity, social isolation, is quite powerful. And so we know that the exercises reduces anxiety and fatigue, it improves self-esteem and optimism, and it creates routine and purpose, and it normalizes the experience, because you come in and you work, you in the company of other people, 15 to 20 other males that have the same issue, that went through the same type of treatment, surgical procedures, that are currently or has been struggling with the same leakage issues and erectile dysfunction issues that you're going through. So it's not like that we're sitting, you know, and talking about it all the time. We talk about all sorts of other stuff, you know, about Donald Trump and the All Blacks being so hopeless. That's just a joke. They're not hopeless. There's never a hopeless All Blacks. But I do like to banter about that. But so we talk about all sorts of other stuff. But there is occasions that people want advice, and then that advice is available. Because part of the group, there's medical doctors in the groups, there's lawyers in the group, there is highly qualified people, and there's also people that's been farm workers, grow up on farm, been farmers, and also, so there's all sorts here, and so you've got to find somebody that you can connect with, and because they went for the same sort of process, it's easier to have a conversation with them. All right, so let's get very specific and talk about the pelvic floor muscles a little bit. So these pelvic floor muscles, they work like a hammock. So they stretches from, they sit like a hammock at the bottom of your pelvis, and it stretches from the pubic bone in the front to the coccyx of the tailbone in the back. So it's like a trampoline or a hammock that you lie in, and then you also have from across from the sit bone to the sit bone, and on the sides, and then this hammock basically holds up your bladder and your bowel, and it supports your prostate and the base of the penis. So they've got all sorts of funny names, but once you know the anatomy and the bones, that's actually the names are constructed around where it inserts and where it goes. So you've got the pubococcygesis, which is a muscle that sits in the front part of the hammock. It wraps around the urethra. It's the pipe that you pee through, and it helps to stop and control the flow of urine. And that's the muscle that you engage when you try not to leak.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the puborectalis, so rectalis, rectum. So it's just sling around the rectum, and it helps to maintain the bowel control. So the first one, the pubococcygesis, if you want to engage that, easiest way to do that is just to, if you try to stop a pee.
Mm-hmm.
So next time you go and urinate and you try to stop that pee, you basically contract at the base of the penis, you pull in at the base of the penis, and that creates the contraction of that muscle. And then the second one, it slings around the rectum. If you want to prevent a fart from happening, or you want to stop a poop, you know, a number two,
mm-hmm.
you contract that, you pull it in, then you contract that muscle. So that's a big part of the training process, is to do the two pull-ins. I call it the two pull-ins. Pull in at the base and pull in at the base.
Mm-hmm.
And hold it. And then you also want these muscles to become smarter. So there's all sorts of pullings, contractions that we do. So sometimes we increase the contraction as we go over 5 or 10 seconds. Other times we do basically contract and release sort of exercises. So and that's to help these muscles to relearn to work and to improve your control over them. And we do this with other exercises, which is pelvic lift exercises called frogs and butterflies. Basically open your knees. Frogs is when you sit down on the ground and you lean forward with your knees open, and while you do those, you do these contractions, and so that creates a proprioceptive effect on the muscle, and then a specific contraction at the targeted area. So it's not stuff that you can learn yourself. It's not stuff that you will know how to do on your own. And you don't need to come to the classes forever, but if you've been here for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, you will learn the main exercises and you'll know how to do it.
So is this all retraining the brain as well as the muscles?
Yeah, so the proprioceptive response, how muscles work, is not something really anything to do with the brain. It's an automatic response. When a muscle gets stretched, it contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the leakage, with an erection, for instance, it's a muscle contraction, and then the ability of the muscle to maintain that contraction, to maintain the blood, the accumulation of blood in the penis. So it's that control that becomes important. So it's not just contract and relax, it's also the ability to increase the contraction and hold the contraction.
And would they need to keep practicing this pretty much forever from this point, or is it?
The first job is to just relearn those muscles.
And
about 70% of people that does these exercises report improved function.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it differs from person to person. In some cases, there's just too much damage to the nerves. But even in those patients, there's some improvement. but it will never be normal again.
Mm.
But I'm sort of the positive. I like the positive mind frame is that I can lose nothing by trying to improve the function.
Mm.
And in most cases, there is benefit. Even it might not be on the scale as the next guy. But you will never know if you don't try. And it's not only that, it's also all the other benefits. The benefits around the psychology, around the group support, around the muscle mass maintenance, around the weight maintenance, about reduction of cardiovascular risk, and all those sort of things that becomes really important. That it's benefits from the exercise program. That so it's a whole package. It's not just if this doesn't work, it doesn't work. This exercise, the exercise will bring around benefits for your general health and your general psychology. That is hard to put into words.
Lucas, I'm aware that we're pretty much on time for this one, and we can continue next week with more details on this CrossFit, prostate cancer, and maybe some of your experiences, some of your successes you've had with it.
Yeah, that. Sure. Yeah, we can call it a day. There's still a few pages here.
There's still a bit to go. And it's so interesting and it's so pertinent. I think it's really important. So thank you for that. This is Diane McConnell and I've been talking to Lucas Dreyer about prostate cancer. And we will continue this talk next week.
This is part 5 of 6. Listen next week for part 6.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.